The Stop Trump movement mounts a major effort in Wisconsin today, while Democrat Bernie Sanders hopes to run his streak to 6 wins in a row over Hillary Clinton. The U.S. and the Philippines hold war games on the edge of the South China Sea, and Europe sends the first group of refugees back from Greece to Turkey. Those are just some of the stories on the mind of news analyst Neil Conan this week, and he joins us from his Macnut farm on the Big Island, as he does most Tuesdays. Good morning.
Good morning, Bethany.
So this is a big day for both Democrats and Republicans in Wisconsin. Which of the two frontrunners has more at stake today, Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton?
Oh, Trump for sure. We're in delegate arithmetic here. Ted Cruz and John Kasich are in this to prevent a first ballot coronation, to keep Trump under that, 1237 magic number for delegates. Neither one of them can get there, but if they can keep Trump short of the goal and the vote goes to a second ballot, well, at that point, who knows what can happen. So the polls show Ted Cruz ahead in Wisconsin. If he can get the lion's share of the delegates, it gets that much harder for Donald Trump. And this all comes among the renewed threats by Trump of a third-party run if he's denied the nomination. Hillary Clinton's in a much better place. The polls put Bernie Sanders ahead in Wisconsin, and yes, a win is a win, but given her lead, about 230 delegates, I think, Sanders is just running out of time. He doesn't just need a win, he needs a big win. Wisconsin favors him. It's one of the less diverse states. It's an open primary, so independents can vote, but he cannot afford a close victory. And while nobody embraces, nobody wants to embrace a loss, Hillary Clinton can afford one if she keeps it close.
So what about those 10 super delegates of the 86 that are up today? Could they be game changers too?
Well, they can, but, as Bernie Sanders has consistently pointed out, superdelegates can change their minds. They're not really at stake today. Those are, people who could elect to go with, the people's vote, whoever Wisconsin votes for or whoever their congressional. The fact is, these are unpledged delegates. The pledged delegates are what we're talking about. 8 years ago, remember, it was the superdelegates who put Barack Obama over the top against Hillary Clinton, so that's not exactly unprecedented, but at this point, Hillary Clinton's on track to win the nomination with just pledged delegates, so the superdelegates aren't going to amount to anything.
As Bernie Sanders' campaign continues, and he continues this drive, it seems to be more, in some cases, as much a moral victory as some of the ones that have actually happened. As that continues, how much does that erode Hillary Clinton's campaign?
Well, some of the attacks he's made against her on the speeches and the refusal to release the transcripts, those have been telling on her relations with, obviously Wall Street. He has exposed her as not the greatest candidate in the world. She's admitted that. She's not a truly talented politician, as she said, like Barack Obama or her husband were natural politicians. This makes it difficult for her, but, compared to the chaos that's going on in the Republican Party, she looks to be, at least according to, you can't put a lot of faith in, general election projections at this point in the race. But at this point, should she get the nomination, she looks to be well set against either Donald Trump or against Ted Cruz.
You mentioned a little earlier about the chaos in the Republican Party, and clearly that Kasich and Ted Cruz are there to be, spoilers for Trump's coronation. How much of a spoiler do you think each is, and do you see John Kasich leaving anytime soon?
No, I don't see John. If he was going to, he would have. I think he's in it for exactly the long game that he has projected. If Donald Trump can be denied a first ballot nomination, then it's open. He hopes that at that point, people will look around and say, who's most likely to win in November? Among those three, at least according to these polls, it would be John Kasich. But, he has to get the Republican nomination. And this is a group that has been anti-establishment. John Kasich served in Washington, D.C. for a very long time as an important member of Congress. He's now the governor of Ohio. He is one of the embodiments of inside politics, and that does not look good for him. It might look better for, who knows what's going to happen. We got a long time between then and now. Ted Cruz is, Nobody in the Republican Party likes him. He is, you know, the quintessential outsider in that sense. On the other hand, if it goes to a second ballot, you know, theoretically he'd be best positioned to get the nomination, but this would require an awful lot of establishment Republicans holding their nose to vote for Ted Cruz, knowing that by doing so they would be provoking Donald Trump into a complete disruptor, possibly a third-party campaign that would make it very difficult for any Republican to win, much less Ted Cruz.
Okay, let's skip on a couple weeks just for the moment and look at another big day that's coming up, the New York primary, just 2 weeks from today. That's the home of Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, and Bernie Sanders was born there. None of them are going to likely let the rest of us forget that, eh?
Yes, we're going to hear a lot about Brooklyn in the next couple of weeks. Sanders is mounting a major effort, and, well, he has to. New York elected Hillary Clinton to the U.S. Senate twice. It's her adopted hometown. It's a closed primary, registered Democrats only. The polls have her up double digits. 2 weeks, though, of course, is a lifetime in politics. And after a lot of bickering, the two camps have agreed on a televised debate in New York in advance of the primary. I say bickering. In an ordinary year, you know, we'd be talking about, you know, how nasty it's getting in the Democratic campaign. But this is, you know, completely, I was going to say a tea party, but that's not the right word. It's very polite compared to the vitriol and childishness in the Republican race. On the demographics, on the Republican side, New York sets up very well for Donald Trump, except the primary does exclude independents. Many fewer evangelicals, many fewer, you know, sort of extreme conservatives for Ted Cruz. John Kasich has yet to prove he can win anywhere except in his home state of Ohio. Trump is well ahead in New York, and not just in New York, but in a raft of big northeastern states coming up, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Maryland, Connecticut, Rhode Island, Delaware. By the way, those states set up pretty well for Hillary Clinton, too. And then on to the, you know, that final big test in California.
Now, I don't want to let you leave without talking to you a little bit about the South China Sea and what we see happening with the EU deal and Greece suspending the flow of migrants, potentially. Let's talk first about the South China Sea. Didn't we just have a situation with President Clinton meeting privately with President Xi Jinping, and that those tensions in the South China Sea were at the top of their agenda?
The South China Sea and probably North Korea, too.
We'll get back to the South China Sea for a second. But North Korea, there was also that round of sanctions from the United Nations Security Council.
Indeed. Reports from the border, though, the New York Times had a great piece from a reporter on the China-North Korea border. And she reported that China has been using loopholes in that Security Council resolution to carry on trade more or less as normal. China is, of course, far and away the most important partner for North Korea. 90% of its trade goes through China. China is its only ally, its strategic protector. But there are hints in just the last couple of days that China may be tightening the economic sanctions on aviation fuel and a couple of other items. The important thing to watch is the progress of the U.S. talks with South Korea on the deployment of an advanced anti-ballistic missile system in South Korea. China has always objected to this because the radar associated with that system can look a very long way into China as well. China has always regarded it as a threat. South Korea never wanted to undermine relations with its most important trading partner, but China has not helped President Park with North Korea. Even more important to her, President Xi Jinping did not take her phone calls for a few weeks after the most recent nuclear and missile test. She was deeply offended, of course, and opened talks on the United States with that anti-ballistic missile system called THAAD. And you could think there was a little hardball at the White House last week. You know, hey, China, if you don't put some teeth into those new sanctions, if you don't act to change North Korea's behavior, well, then, you know, we have to protect our South Korean allies and, of course, the U.S. forces based in South Korea with that new anti-ballistic missile system.
Neil, we're going to have to go here in just a second, but really, really briefly, we just heard this morning in terms of the deal with that the EU struck with Turkey, that Europe sent the first boatloads of migrants back to Turkey yesterday. We saw that the Syrians from a Turkish refugee camp went to Germany. Today, Greece suspends the deportations. But if the deal resumes, it's not necessarily going to deter those flow of migrants to the Greek islands. Yes, and
at least not yet. More migrants arrived on Lesbos yesterday. That's one Greek island than were sent back. These were migrants that were sent back were mostly from Afghanistan and Pakistan. They go into a camp that Turkey has built for deportation. Turkey's going to send them back home to Afghanistan and Pakistan. The camp was built to house 750 people. You've got 50,000 migrants trapped in Greece at the moment. You can see how long this is going to take, and more continue to arrive every day.
Right.
And there's the other way to look at this, of course, through the eyes of human rights groups, that this is cruel and illegal treatment of desperate people who have risked everything for the promise of Europe, you know, not just a better life, not just better economic prospects, but safety, security, the rule of law. The human rights groups regard this as a kind of human trafficking that betrays the foundation of Western civilization.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we got to go. So much to talk about today. We ran a little bit long, but thanks very much for everything. And I know we're going to see you later this week when you come out over our way.
Yeah, a little fundraising.
Yeah, a little thing called the Pledge Drive. Thanks very much. Talk to you later in the week. News analyst Neil Conan joins us most Tuesdays from the farm. You can also hear his Pacific News Minutes right here on Hawaii Public Radio.